Blog Talk Radio.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook, facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That part is for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and income poops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually. But for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps that do not exist. So who wants to work for the IRS? Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you dolts and something duckers who will let us get away with it.
Here I am back in January of last year. I just couldn't keep the weight off no matter how many different exercise programs I tried. Now I'm down to my ideal weight, and it's never been easier. All I had to do was vote blue, no matter who. Every time I went to the grocery store, I was with so many different options to choose from. But now I'm lucky if I can even fill my basket up. I used to be really unhealthy, never got that much exercise. But now that I can't afford to put gas in my car, I have to walk to work. And as an added bonus, I don't have to worry about being carjacked anymore. So you can ditch Tyvo and start saying Ty Joe.
Come on, man.
Day. So let's talk about what's going on in America. Freedom is under attack in your state. Dictator Ron DeSantis incredibly lets you walk around without masks. That tyrant allows your kids to go to school during the pandemic, year two or four, or who the hell knows. I urge you living in Florida to join the fight. Or join us in California, where we'll take the money you earn and give it to people who don't work. Visit San Francisco, where you can walk through human feces. If you're lucky, you might step on a syringe. Check out Los Angeles, where gas is so expensive, your kids only need to skip a meal or two or ten to afford it. California, where freedom means lockdowns for you, while I go to the places you can't afford. Don't let them take your freedom. Come to California, where we'll take it, along with your money.
Please check out the Proof Negative radio show, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. That is 6 to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, with excellent co-host, outstanding guests, and lots of great conversation. We can even take your calls. The number is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1, and you will be on the Proof Negative radio show. Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Tuesday, so that means we'll have Dahl joining us here in just a second. And if you have anything you want to share out there in Radio Land, the number here is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation. So with all that, let's go ahead and say hello to Dahl.
Thank you, Proof. Hey, everybody. It's great to be here as always. Beautiful Tuesday. You know, second day of the week, one day closer to the end of the week.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's been a busy week so far, and it's only Tuesday. So, yeah, it's just great to be here. There's a lot going on out there, so we will be very busy discussing things, I'm sure.
Well, and only 2 weeks till Election Day.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, the polls and what we see and what we know, you know, there's a strong conservative push going out there. But when you have, you know, a corrupt government, a puppet government and Dominion, I think a lot of voters are going to the polls. They're showing up. They're going to be casting their ballots, but with doubt, and that's a travesty.
And you already have the VAG out there, among others, saying that the Republicans are already going to steal the 2024 election. That's what they're working on right now. So I guess running a good campaign and making sure that you're doing all the things to put you in position to win, that's now called cheating because you're not letting them control their ballot boxes. You're actually knocking on doors and you're making sure that you have the best candidate out there.
Yeah, showing up instead of showing up on every ad and every radio and social media platform, you know, with millions of dollars of George Soros funding behind you, like a lot of these corrupt socialists are doing.
So I want to bring up something that's in your area. I'm trying to understand why it is
that Mitch McConnell decided to pull money out of several races that are extremely razor-thin close and instead decided to put millions upon millions into Murkowski.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting and that you mentioned that, because this is almost unprecedented for the Speaker of the House to attack. All right, so yes, he's put millions of dollars behind Murkowski, but what's really interesting is it wasn't just for, you know, for her campaign. This money went specifically for a huge ad campaign to smear her very strong Trump-backed opponent, Kelly Chewbacca. And this has been a smear campaign that's, like I said, this is unprecedented. And just recently, the Alaskan Republican Party, in fact, yesterday voted to censor Senator McConnell for what they called spreading divisive and misleading statements about their endorsed candidate in Alaska's Senate race. Because Kelly Chewbacca is the Alaska Republican endorsed candidate, not Lisa Murkowski. For the first time, Lisa is not being endorsed. And for folks that don't know, Lisa showed up in the political arena as an she was appointed by her father, who held that Senate seat and was elected for governor. And it was classic nepotism, but people in Alaska kept voting her in. I've known forever that she was a rhino. And a lot of the party ship here, the Republican Party ship here, believed that. But we didn't have a strong candidate to back. And that's no excuse to put up with their nonsense. However, when you are, you know, limited on who shows up in your race, you know, you pick what you can. And so, anyway, so it's really interesting because, like I said earlier, the financial support from the Senate Leadership Fund has been used for malicious political ads targeting, you know, Kelly Chewbacca. They're gross distortion of fact. So they are requesting, the Alaskan Republican Party is requesting the Leadership Fund immediately stop the attack ads against the endorsed candidate Chewbacca and discontinue supporting of all other opposing candidates. You know, this vote yesterday was passed by the Alaska Republican Party by 49-8. So, and this isn't the first time that this, and I am a member of the Alaskan Republican Party, but this is not the first time that Murkowski's been censored by the same party. And we censored her last year when she voted to convict President Trump for his role in the January 6th fiasco. So it's really, really interesting. And we all know that Mitch McConnell is not a true Republican. He's another rhino. I don't know how long he's, you know, I don't know how he stayed in his party this long without being booed out or, you know, having to run on Democratic tickets. But yeah, you're right on there that he needs to be censured, and we're voting to censor him. Alaska is one of the places right now that everybody needs to keep their eyes on. It's one of the many races, because this means a lot. We've got, I don't mean to run on proof, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead, please.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so we have Congressman Don Young that passed away. Don Young was one of the longest-serving congressmen at large in Alaska history. And a Democrat won that through ranked choice voting, which some states are voting to take on.
Yeah,
and that's just
Nevada's
another
one of those.
Yeah, that's something to be approached with great caution. I do not feel that it has served Alaskan constituents true I don't think it's served us well at all. But anyway, so getting back to what's going on here, Don Young passed away. A candidate named Mary Petola won that seat. And now just yesterday, and Mary Petola, she's the first Native American to serve in Congress. And she is it's showed up to constituents as a newcomer from a village far away. But Mary Petola is also known by Mary Sattler, Mary Nelson, and she's been in politics for a long time. She actually owns a lobbyist firm and has served for huge corporations, gold interest, oil interest, environmental groups and stuff. Now, she is instrumental in winning the Native vote for this administration. And now, once again, I'm sure Murkowski, before this 2 weeks is up, will be censured by the Alaska Republican Party again, because Murkowski just endorsed Democrat Mary Petola instead of endorsing Sarah Palin, who's running against Mary Petola. She endorsed Mary Petola at the Alaska Federal Native Conference, also known as the AFN, just a few days ago. So that is unheard of. And she's even said she'll be voting for Mary Petola. So we've got a huge land grab going here by the federal government and in the name of Native interest and whatnot. So Mary Petola is instrumental to that. Murkowski is instrumental to that. And the pandering's embarrassing. I mean, I'm embarrassed for Murkowski, the way she's pandering to these villages. Just recently, through the infrastructure and American Rescue Plan and all this stuff, these villages received unprecedented grants, never seen before. And sovereignty and all kinds of things here just recently. So it's very interesting. And then you've got the upcoming, you know, fuel crisis that we're in. Well, the ongoing fuel crisis, I should say. And Alaska is huge resource for those type of things. Not only, you know, fossil fuel, but I mean every type of fossil fuel, but many types of precious minerals and stuff that you can't find in other parts. Also, we're the, you know, cornerstone of the Arctic. So there's a lot going on up here, and there's a project called the Willow Pipeline that goes through these Native holdings where Mary Petola was actually a tribal council member and worked for some of these companies. And this administration needed Mary Petola to pave the way for that Hail Mary play when Biden's going to pull out of his bottom oil resource. And they're going to say, look at what we did. We brought you oil from Alaska. But I believe actually this pipeline is actually natural gas pipeline, which we know is needed badly. And I'll bet you a hole in the donut proof that they wouldn't want to, they'll probably say, well, you can pump this gas, but you have to give it to Ukraine and Europe.
Well, I don't know if you know or not, but some of the pipelines were sold to China.
Oh, yes.
So it yes. could be off limits because China has to get theirs. So they're
yeah.
still drilling. It's just going to a different country.
Well, yeah. All right. So, for example, though, and this is, for example, you know, this administration's so hard on Putin and these sanctions, and oh, we're just going to shut him down and put these fuel, you know, sanctions on him, and he can't sell to the UK, and he can't sell anywhere in Europe. He's locked out. What's happening is Putin's still selling all of his fuel, to China, and then China's just selling it right back to the UK and everybody.
And everybody's
and on
okay
top
with
of
that.
That. Yeah, and they know it. It with the markup. And then on top of that, China's building these huge, huge super tankers that are carrying these like as fast as they can to get this Russian product out to the world. And it's just crazy because what do they think? We were all born yesterday? That we can't see what's going on? Sadly, proof, I believe there's a large percentage of the population that has absolutely no clue what's going on. They think they know what's going on. You know, they're like, oh, I know my pronoun. That's all I need to know. You know, but they don't really know what's going on. And they don't need to crash the economy here to cause a recession here in the United States. They're doing it globally.
Yes, everybody's building back better.
Everybody's building back better. Everybody's building back better at the expense of humanity. And I'm not talking about the climate or any, you know, or everybody's feelings. I'm talking literally at the expense of humanity. Depopulation is their number one goal.
You and they've accomplished a lot of it already, though. Not enough, but they've accomplished a lot with these gene therapies.
Yes, and then prior to that, you know, back in the late 60s, 1969, Planned Parenthood rolled out their objectives for society, and this was revealed recently, was to reduce the inner city single-parent population, you know, through abortion, which essentially targeted minority women, and to promote gay and lesbian lifestyles, and the single parent, and to empower the single parent household. This was, once you weaken society in such a way, that paved the way when everybody's like, working real hard and you're a single parent, you're trying to pay the bills and you're doing all this stuff and your kids are going to school and they're coming home with good grades and you're happy with that. You had no idea that your children were being brainwashed and indoctrinated over the last couple decades it began. And it's not just happening in blue states. This is on a federal, I mean, like country, the entire country. And that paves the way for societal collapse, and humanity is at stake. That's aside from the GMOs and the gene technology.
And you still have roughly about 40% of the population of the United States that has no problem with a nuclear war. And by the way, the Democrats, yesterday they said that they were going to approach Brandon to try and get him to negotiate a peace deal, and this morning they took that back. They are strongly in favor of a nuclear war with Russia. That's your liberal Democrat Party, which I don't think the hippies from the 1960s were really interested in.
No, they're not. You know, I do believe that, I hate to say this, but I do believe that if there is there's discussion of, there was a rumors of the threat of a dirty bomb, you know, Zelensky was saying, you know, you got to help us. The Russians are going to set off a dirty bomb and whatnot. And I believe proof.
Oh, I can't hear you. Did I lose you? the other phone line.
Agree with all the policies.
There you go.
I don't agree. I don't agree with all the. Oh, yeah, you get bleep there for a second. It was weird. Anyway, so these policy, what Putin's doing is calculated, and he's got some really strong war game generals and stuff in his back, you know, at his back. But we saw the bridge be, the major bridge being blown up recently. Did Putin retaliate? No. Did he get all hot-headed? No. Well, of course, we wouldn't hear about it because they've cut us off from him. He's been cut off. RT News has been cut off. All types of things. When the pipeline was blown up, did Putin come up out and say, you guys did this and there will be hell to pay and I'm going to blow you up? You know, he's remained calm and cool and collected, and they just keep poking that bear.
I'm trying to find the debate today between John Fetterwoman and Dr. Oz. So sorry if I sound like I'm distracted.
Oh, yeah. He opened it up real strong. That's for sure.
John Fetterwoman.
Anyway, go ahead. I disrupted you.
Oh, no. It's funny because he started the debate with, hi, good night, everybody. You know,
oh.
I mean, hello. I'm running to serve Pennsylvania. Hi, good night, everybody.
Well, I don't see any good notes yet, so I don't know if Fetterwoman did anything of interest. He probably showed up in his
sleep. Yeah, just blunders. Yeah, just some blunders. Yeah, it's kind of funny though. I haven't had a chance to watch it, check on it either. And when you said that, I pulled it up and that popped up right away.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
No, I'm looking at something else if I can grab it. Hold on here. So, when Ted Cruz yesterday went on The View.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you knew that. And I don't know why he went on The View, but he said that he thought that it was important for our side to have somebody that would go in. So he went in. And so the argument goes here. Whoopi Goldberg says, we may not like when Republicans win, but we don't go and we don't storm. And Ted Cruz says, did I miss an entire year of Antifa riots where cities across the country were burning? Whoopi Goldberg's response, I don't know what an Antifa riot is. So maybe somebody should show her.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe some clips from the Summer of Love in Seattle, Chop Zone.
It's just getting tired.
Yeah, it is. And then, you know, speaking of Ted Cruz, you know, he had some backpedaling to do, you know. He got into a scuffle with the party a few months ago when he said unsavory things about, you know, Trump and the party and January 6th and called people, you know, terrorists. And so I've got you know, a leery eye on him. He could be a potential rhino for all I know. But I don't like hearing anybody from any party calling Americans terrorists when they stand up for their democracy. You know, and then speaking, all right, so we got Pennsylvania, we got Fetterwoman and Dr. Oz, and then Carrie Lake and Katie Hobbs in Arizona. Now, have you had an opportunity, anybody out there had an opportunity to see a video clip or hear an audio clip of Katie Hobbs?
Oh, I have the Project Veritas.
Oh, yeah. She sounds like a Valley girl, you know, and she's really just, I mean, she has no substance at all. She holds, she has as much substance and ability to hold water as a spaghetti sieve strainer. Come on. That girl cannot hold that race. There's no way. I am watching Arizona, and I'm watching the Carrie Lake and the Hobbs and Katie Hobbs, election very closely, because if there's any type of voting, see it in Arizona, because there's no way that Katie Hobbs can beat Carrie Lake. Carrie Lake has brought the heat. And
she's like number two on the Republican Party right now, right under DeSantis.
Yeah, I really, really like her. I've seen her in an event before, and last February in Florida, she showed up to the Trump event I went to. Oh. And, she was at the Kelly Chewbacca Trump thing in February. But, that's one to watch. We've got Washington State has a longtime Senator Patty Murray, Biden did called Patty Murphy. Let me introduce longtime serving Senator Patty Murphy, you know, and it's like, no, it's Patty Murray, you fool. She's been in, you know, the Senate forever. Now, she is running against Tiffany Smiley in District 8, Washington. And Tiffany Smiley is she's a nurse. Her husband is a disabled veteran. Actually, he was one of the first people. He lost his eyesight in the Middle East, and he actually was able to go back and serve his country blind. They found a spot for him, and she's a huge veterans advocate in Washington State, and is running against Patty Murray. And this is the first strong candidate that this district's seen in decades, and Tiffany Smiley actually has a chance to win that seat in Washington. And like I said, it'll be first time in decades, and it's a very, very, very blue district, very blue area. So that's a race. Oregon's another one. Oregon's governor, they don't really have any good candidates there. Nobody real strong that stands out.
No.
And that's really disappointing. I would have thought that Oregon could have done a little better, you know, bringing forth their caucus.
Chance. They have a chance with the governor, though.
Yes, they do. And it will be one of the first, if this gal's name is, it's got a different kind of spelling. All right. Drazen. Yeah, Drazen is the last name. and her first name is Kristen or something like that, but she's a Republican. And yes, and she won the primary for governor, and then let's see. Am I right? No. Okay, yeah, I think Drazen's the one. This was a bad site to look at. It's not real clear, but Kate Brown's the governor. She's not running again. So they, you know, they've got some good, you know, chances to actually have a Republican governor. And when people think of Oregon anymore, they think of Portland and Antifa and stuff.
Right.
However, yeah, her name's Christine Drazen. However, it's a huge area. There's one county, just like in Washington State, a huge county that's predominantly blue in each state. And we see this in a lot of places, California and everywhere, New York, state of New York and stuff like that. But the majority of the people in these blue states like Oregon and Washington and New York and stuff, they're ready for new leadership. They've had enough of you know, the same old, same old. And it'll be refreshing. I really hope people, you know, think not with their emotions, but with their, you know, their financial future, their job future, their future health care choices and stuff. You know, that's important.
All I know is that if the Democrats end up doing everything that they hope to do here and they somehow sneak this election win, then we're going to see a lot of mass death. They got 2 years for that. And I wish I was joking or being sensationalized, but they're talking about scooping up 55% or more of the public and putting them in camps. They're talking about making these gene therapies mandatory. So they'll get you one way or the other. They're going to bring the pain on the oil because they refuse to do any drilling. And their goal is to transition to nothing because you won't be around long enough to have a smooth-running solar-powered car.
Exactly. And they want electric everything. You know, here we are in California. One of their new laws for new construction is you can't do natural gas anymore. They want you to do all electric. And other states will start to, you know, try doing that and stuff. Well, people, where do you think electricity comes from? It comes from fossil fuels or water. You know, and there's consequences for everything. And when right now they cannot, you know, you think of California and their rolling blackouts and their droughts and their other problems that they have with their power grid, big, huge fires that wipe out their power grids and whatnot. And they want everybody to convert to electricity. We might as well tell everybody to just convert to candles.
Sorry, I'm just trying to think of what else you can convert to. But I remember when some people went over to see Barry Satoro and his husband, Michael Robinson Obama, and they showed the next big craze that's going to replace the gas-powered tractor. And so the green people went over there and saw it, and they saw a team of oxen. So we're going to make oxen cool again. So we're going to take it back to the 1600s.
Well, yeah, we know that's what Klaus Schwab wants us to do and the WEF. But what about when those oxens pass gas or toot, as people like to say?
Yeah, I can't have that.
I mean, that's going to create all kinds of problems and havoc. And how are we going to feed them? They won't eat bugs. You know, I thought we all had to eat bugs and the oxen. Are we going to feed the oxen bugs?
Maybe. Do people think that Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and George Soros are going to eat the bugs and own the nothing?
No, they will not be eating the bugs and owning the nothing. But, you know, I'm sorry, I had to mute my mic for a second. I'm in my 300 square foot cabin and the dogs are acting up. And I'm like, you guys, stop it. So, but, you know, we've seen it with this administration, they haven't even hidden the end. They want to federalize everything to take your rights away. You know, we had Biden sign Executive Order 14081, and it's called Advancing Biotechnology and Biomanufacturing Innovation for Sustainable, Safe, and Secure American Bioeconomy. And it's an executive order that everybody should read. It's terrifying. They're laying the way for what we are seeing right now. Now, this executive order was written in September. Now, right after this executive order was announced, they started rolling out their new jabs for, you know, with their gene therapy. And they're rolling it out for babies, and they're trying to roll it out for schools and school-age children and put that on the long list of toxins they call immunizations for your children and mandate it. And, you know, there's always those standout governors like DeSantis. He was one of the first ones that said, you will not mandate and we will not mandate this to be a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. It doesn't stop transmission or prevent transmission and from passing or receiving. So Florida will not allow it. And then Governor Dunleavy in Alaska today, he announced that Alaska, just as DeSantis did, Alaska will not participate in this and not require or mandate that any child, school-age child, receive this. That, you know, this is not an immunization and it's a health choice for children, you know, parents to make for their children. Which, I mean, I don't know why you would subject your child to experimental gene therapy.
Well, and if you're voting Democrat, then that means that you really are interested in helping your children die faster. Now, I hate being mean about it,
yeah,
but that's what it is.
Exactly. You know, and it's just really super concerning because, like I was just saying a little bit earlier, there's such a huge percentage of people that have no idea that this is happening or why it's happening, and more alarming, how long it's all been in the works. This is a plan. This is a scripted I mean, they didn't call it Agenda 2030 for nothing. Some people, this is new to them. This whole concept is new to them. And if it's new to you, I definitely suggest that you jump right down the rabbit hole, start doing your research, look at all different types of resources and stuff, because some of this stuff just sounds, you know, like hyperbole or made up or conspiracy theories, and I wish it were, but it's not.
Like I've been saying for months, though, that you still have 40% of the people that would still vote Democrat if the governor said he would personally knock on your door and shoot you if you vote Democrat. They would still vote for him.
Oh, yeah. Vote blue no matter who. And they will come knocking on your door. And if you don't have a gun, they'll take your food. They'll take anything from you. You know, they're not your friends.
Did you get a chance? Probably not, but did you get a chance to see the latest Broccoli Man?
No, I have not.
All right.
I haven't had a chance to do anything.
All right. I don't want to oversell this, but Leslie yesterday said it's the funniest Broccoli Man she's ever seen, and she's literally seen every episode.
All right, so you're sending... Okay, you got me. All right, here we go.
I'm giving you two more.
Oh, can you send me... Okay.
And it's talking about some of this stuff.
Oh, okay, perfect. All right, I see it. All right, I am ready when you are.
All right, I'm still... all right, I'm ready. All right, so 3, 2, 1, action.
I am so tired of these boosters, B. I had 3 heart attacks after my 60th booster player. My parent 1 and 2 said this is my last semester at Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology if I have to get another gene therapy.
Hey, Jamaica. I told you how to handle it. You call them racists and then tell them to get out of the clan. When you tell them you can tell everyone they are in the clan, they'll apologize and they will get a gene therapy with you.
My parent 1 and I went to 2 MCGMO yesterday. I noticed my parent one was not wearing a scan while waiting for his GMO mouth. I cursed him out something proper for not wearing a scan at the table. I made like something ducker go back up to the car and bring a 2 scans to her while sitting and waiting for our food. He put it on for about 45 seconds and then her food came. Who knows how sick my parent one would have been if they did not put their 2 scans on right before getting our girl happy meals.
I went to Whole Paycheck last night. They do not have any bugs for us to eat. It is a shame they're not listening to Klaus Schwab yet and just selling bugs. We need to be perfect globalists and be as one gender and one world government. Then we can save the Earth.
I promise once we can start eating the bugs, I will only eat the bugs. I will also own the nothing. Globalists know how 99% of us live better than we do. They know what it is like to be poor. That is why them fools are rich.
I don't know, B. I do not want Earth's temperature going up 0.4 degrees and then down 0.4 degrees by 2100. But I'm not interested in eating maggot for food. I still like my winter chicken dinner and my GMO bell.
You need to wake up and smell your armpits, Jamaica. If you do not eat bugs, then this climate will be permanently ruined.
There are these too many peoples on Earth. We need to do what Klaus Schwab and G. Lobelis say. After we finish college at SHIT, we should purchase Lysnick a suicide pod. I'm thinking about getting the gray casket.
All I know is that I can never vote for Brandon or Governor Shehitzik. I cannot take any more of these gene therapies. I am also now trying to get drafted into a nuclear war.
You're a something duck, Urjmar. Having a nuclear war would be great for the planet. It means half the world population would be gone. Just think about how great the climate would be if less people were on Earth. Then when I am dead, I can make an apology for my whiteness and ask to come back to Earth as someone black.
I just don't want to fight in a war, B. I just want to be a reporter and tell other people they have to fight in a war.
I would rather have a nuclear war than see another one of Trump's mean tweets. At least we won't have to see any more social media posts that Trump says. Him bees is a stupid.
I agree. Trump's mean tweets is far worse than any nuclear bombs Russia could drop on us. And January 6th was the worst attack on America in world history. Even George Strauss said so.
I know. It's that Green Jones again. That is a something ducker for real.
I bet he still has not figured out how men can get pregnant yet. He is probably too stupid to know it might snow around Thanksgiving time because of climate change.
I wonder what racist hush he will say today.
I remember that one time my parents took us to Disney World for 4th of July. There was a bad blizzard, so Disneyland was closed. So they took us to Epco Center. Instead, we need to stop climate change so that never happens again.
Yeah. No. I'll take things that never happened, Alex, for $1,000.
You are a Republican for not believing in climate change. How can you not understand that it's colder around Halloween time than it is on the 4th of July? Us educated peoples know that the climate changes.
You dud. That is called weather. There has exactly been zero cases of there being a blizzard on the 4th of July in Florida.
You're a liar. I was there. It can rain every day at any time. Just like it can snow any day, any time. Brandon made it legal. You Trump supporters and dumb Republicans do not understand that Brandon legalized that it can snow whenever it wants.
You are so stupid, I can't believe it. How do you not know there is climate change? You watch too much conspiracy theories.
You are such a mute mouth because you do not understand that my birthing partner, she can get me pregnant. You're also against my birthing partner for diddling children.
Hey, B. You called Malik the wrong pronoun again.
Oh, dear.
And I hate white people like you so much. I am finna tell Malik you done did call their she.
No, please don't. I'm so sorry. I will do another drag queen story time with Malik and I will do all kinds of stuff you need me to do. I do not want my birthing partner stabbing me in my ballsack again.
Diddling children is wrong. We need to stop sexualizing and grooming children.
Just for that, I'm suing you for $2.75 trillion. Just like how Alex Jones was sued for $2.75 trillion. You something duckers need to know you cannot offend people for being a minor attracted person.
Hey player, it is illegal to engage in coitus with anyone under age 18.
I knew you are turning Republican. You bees is too racist for me, Jim.
How is that racist, sugar? It is illegal to diddle kids. They are not old enough to consent to it.
The person doing the diddling consented, though. That is the most important.
That's not how it works, B.
I am so glad the schools have pornography for children under 18.
My neighbors have a child in kindergarten. Their class last week made all the kids pull down their pants and play with their junk. They got graded on it and everything. They got a B. The teacher said they did not do it like they meant it.
I am so glad we have a Democrat governor like Governor Shedzik. He is so liberal and is into these things.
He even said after the election he will put Republicans in FEMA camps, even though FEMA camps totally do not exist.
How is it that you are a liberal then? Liberals are so supposed to be about peace. Instead you are about putting most of the world in concentration camps, killing people, and nuclear war? How is that peace and love?
It is all about peace and love. We will be peaceful and love everyone who is not white, not cisgendered, and who agrees with us. If you do not totally agree with me, or you bees of the wrong skin color, we want you dead.
This is why we cannot let liberalism run this country. Please be against war. Be all about peace and love with all humans. Not just the ones that co-sign what you say all the time. Listen to the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Go to freedomizerradio.com and listen live. He has great guests, excellent co-hosts, and lots of real news you need to hear. freedomizerradio.com for the Proof Negative radio show.
I only listen to FNN. They have the best fake news for all us liberals to be told what to believe. I am a clean slate every day and just wait for my talking points so I know what to believe. I so wish I knew which restroom I should use or how angry I should be when someone says something. But whatever they want us to do, I do it. I am a great globalist that stands with the current thing. Believe that.
All right, that was an episode. I hope it was okay.
Oh, I was muted. Yeah, that was good. You know, I like the, we'll just go next door because it's going to snow.
I was hoping you would get that. That it, there was
yeah.
a blizzard in Disney World, so we'll just go next door to Epcot Center.
Yeah, you know, microclimate zones or what? yeah, that was a good one. That was funny. You had to catch, you know, it was like, caught that one. I tell you, I was like, ah, same place. Florida doesn't get snow to begin with. Yeah, that
it
was
snowed once in Jacksonville when I lived there for 3 years.
Oh, nice.
But that's like South Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, they do get snow there in Georgia. But, you know, it's really... It's interesting because when people, you know, think of the World Economic Forum, they think of globalists. Well, the globalists are here in the United States, too. And when you hear people dismiss the FEMA camps or the camps that are, you know, the isolation camps or whatever you want to call it, re-education camps are essentially what they are, you know, They came right before the people during the scamdemic in the name of a public health crisis and built these right in front of people in the name of public safety. And
right.
They're still standing. They built them with taxpayer money, with our consent, with our, well, no, you and I did not, but with people thinking that they were building isolation tents or isolation areas to keep people safe. Well, they are not going to get rid of those places. Those places are going to be instrumental in the indoctrination and re-education. We've seen it in other countries. We've seen it most predominantly done in China. And so when people are going to the polls, there's some things you need to remember. These are the people, you know, when you vote Democrat or Socialist, these are the people that closed your business. They closed your schools. They closed your churches. They closed your beaches. They banned parties. They banned funerals. They banned graduation ceremonies. They banned nursing home visits. They banned hospital visits. They banned dads and delivery rooms.
They banned things in certain states that were not food.
Yes. They banned travel to certain states. They even designated what constitutes a meal. They allowed protests.
Right.
They allowed riots. They allowed anarchists to co-opt cities. They allowed the storming of police precincts. They allowed the assault of peacekeepers. They allowed multiple funerals for people that fit their agenda, i.e., for example, George Floyd. They allowed businesses to be destroyed. They allowed gun stores to be closed. They allowed statues to be removed or vandalized. They set churches on fire. They infringed our liberty. And they allowed our Constitution to be ignored. So when you go to the polls, folks, I want you to keep those things in mind. And that's just the short list of things that they've done.
Oh,
to
and
you.
I was hoping I could add to that. They're letting fentanyl in.
Oh, please
in
do.
They let the border be wide open. They allow censorship of Americans, and it even gets to the point where none of us are Alex Jones here, but the lawsuit for $2.75 trillion because he said he questioned the Sandy Hook event. So... they've also allowed murderers to be let out of jail, or in some cases not go to jail. They've allowed no cash bail, so all the criminals can just get a ticket and show up to court 3 or 4 months later. after they stab someone almost to death. They allow child groomers, and if you say the word groomer on Twitter, well, maybe next week that'll change when Elon Musk takes over, but if you say the word groomer on social media, you get banned. They allow drag queen story time, and they allow under 18 age pornography, where you have to be under age 18 to see the sexual intercourse that goes on.
Yes, and also exactly, and the collusion with big tech pharmacy, and that goes hand in hand with the gene therapy as well as the agenda for the transgender movement with our children, and this is not just people going, being kids being wishy-washy. This is the mutilation of our children, the cutting off of healthy bodily tissue.
Right.
God created God perfect, beautiful children, because, you know, a healthy child means nothing to these pharmaceutical companies. They can't make millions off you. But if they convince your child that they're a gender that they're not, that child is a million-dollar plus cash cow for these doctors, these institutions, this depopulation. Once you begin this gender modification at such a young age, there's grave consequences. I mean, you cannot quantify the consequences of this population-wise, because it is going to interfere with reproductivity and healthy breeding humans. You know, where's the outrage? We're becoming endangered.
400 people can have money and power over others.
Exactly. And, you know, it's really interesting, too, because we just saw in the UK, not only did, you know, the Queen die, then there's a puppet king. I mean, Charles is useless. The king and queen are useless anyways. However, you know, they got this, you know, spitfire conservative prime minister, and she didn't last, weeks in her capacity.
Yeah, because she already had deals with Pfizer, and they considered that not above board. You shouldn't have pre-made contracts with Pfizer to bring more gene therapies into the country.
Exactly. But what did they do? They bring a new guy who is the darling of the WEF. And very rich, very, very rich. In fact, he's a billionaire. To tell common people how they're supposed to live under austerity measures and what they will eat, what they will not eat. And the UK is messed up. I mean, that they've been going downhill for, you know, decades. They've shut down their economies there. They've shut down all their steel mills. People have not been working. They live on the dole, universal income. You know, there's a lot of, you know, alcohol abuse and unhealthy living habits because these people have no prospect. And it wears down on you generation after generation. And then on top of that, they introduce a huge migrant population, and they already have an economy that's unsustainable, and I'm seeing this happen in the United States right now.
Yeah, they're just ahead of us, but it's not like we're not in the game. We're right there.
Yeah. So this guy that is the new prime minister there in the UK is Rishi Sunak. And he's filthy rich, and he's Indian, which I have no, you know, that's neither here nor there. However, he fits the profile. He checks all the boxes, you know. The only thing that can make him more desirable to this new one world order is if he had tits.
Well, he hasn't announced he's gay or bi yet. Maybe he's one of those, or he identifies as a woman.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, if he was a little more, like woke looking and stuff, but yeah, he is definitely part of the One World Order, Klaus Schwab, WEF, World Economic Forum, if you don't know what that means.
Well, Dal, I don't know if you know this, but the last three prime ministers of England were all trained by Klaus Schwab. Boris.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, him included. So all three of them are graduates.
Yep, and they're doing that here. You know, we've seen these politicians that are, you know, hand-delivered on, silver platters that have no substance at all. AOC, she's a perfect example. She checks all the, she's, you know, young and hip and marketable, and it was nothing but a casting call for that seat. And they lifted her up and lofted her right in that seat. Tlaib Rashid, she's another one, or Rashid Tlaib or whatever. And yep. That other one from Minnesota. Amar. You know, the one who's married to her brother. But yeah, so this, this guy, this UK prime minister, he's a former hedge fund manager. He was the UK treasury chief prior. My heart goes out to the good people in the UK, and I feel really sorry for them, because they're in for a dark, cold winter. And I do believe people need to pay attention to what's going on in Europe to get a foretaste of what's coming here. We saw it during World War II. That not only did our loved ones go and fight a war, you know, across the globe, a world war, here in the United States, Americans were called to austerity measures that we hadn't seen since before the Great Depression. And people are going to be asked to do that again, and I hope people are prepared. Don't let your guard down. Stay prepared. Keep food in the pantry. Keep rotating stuff, because you don't want to eat bugs.
Whether by choice or not.
Exactly.
I just don't know. I don't know how to say it anymore. I just feel like I've been here for years, and the people that need to hear this are the ones not hearing it.
Yeah.
But if they get to keep the Congress and the Senate, then it's going to be open war season on 55% of the population here in the States. It's just weird how Brandon's government is going to fight Russia, China, and the United States at the same time.
Exactly.
And the U.S. military was rated as possibly the weakest it's ever been just Friday. The United States military is in no shape right now. They don't have the recruits. The recruits they have, are coming up with weird illnesses, and the numbers just aren't there. They've kicked out everybody that didn't want a gene therapy, and they're still not bringing them back. So we're supposed to lose on purpose. But I don't know if you've ever seen this book, but there's a book called The Grand Chessboard, and Zbigniew Brzezinski, one of the all-time Hall of Fame greatest globalist ever, even said that by 2030 we'll have a world war with Russia and China. I have the book. I've read it.
Yeah. Well, I have no doubt. You know, it's so interesting because, you know, Biden, he knows that China and Russia are tight right now and always have been, in essence, you know, and doing their thing. And I believe that Russia is helping China further enrich its nuclear program in exchange for, you know, moving their sanctioned items, you know, and reselling them at a higher price. But it's really, really alarming because, you know, you're looking at China's reach into the United States, you know. I mean, they are not only buying up farmland, they bought the largest pork producer and distributor in the world, Smithfield Foods, during
right.
the scamdemic. Stuff like that should never, never happen. And it's very alarming. And then just recently, it was revealed that China is putting these police stations in the United States. And it sounds really weird, but they have one in New York, and they have them all around the world. I think they have one in New York and a couple in Canada, and I know they have some in over in Europe. And they are using these police stations. They call them overseas police service stations, and they're to monitor the Chinese citizens living abroad. They have one location in New York and three in Toronto. It's very interesting because the way they operate is almost similar to how a embassy would operate. But an embassy is to help people, not to monitor police or threaten or coerce citizens when they're in outside their country. And they are using these to police the activities of Chinese people on foreign soil. And Europe is the home to most of these police stations. The Chinese say that they don't trust their own citizens abroad. And the Chinese are trying to protect the world from these Chinese people by combating the growing issue of fraud and telecommunication fraud by Chinese nationals living abroad. And then these police stations persuade, quote unquote, these people to return to China to face criminal prosecution. And this is going on at the same time as Chinese spies were just recently busted here. you know, and growing threat of Chinese GMO terrorism by destroying GMO technology that Monsanto's using for food crops here, which I don't do GMO. I know you don't, and I hope our listeners
right.
don't, but some people, they can't afford anything but, sadly, you know, and it has some, and then the other half don't know what they're eating or don't care. But yeah, this is huge.
So how would they be able to monitor only Chinese people? That doesn't compute with me.
Well, you know, if you're a Chinese citizen and you're traveling, you're still connected to their social credit system through your bank and your telecommunication or your social media apps. And that social credit system and that long reach, you know, that's a cautionary tale. If the Chinese are doing it to their citizens, not only within the confines of their own country, but also when they're abroad. And I know, you know, I've met people that have successfully, you know, been, you know, legally got out of China and became U.S. citizens. And it's a terrifying way to live. You know, if you're living a social class system based on your social credit by, you know, if Xi's party, Pooh Bear's party, hears that you're bad-mouthing them, next time you go to the grocery store, you can't buy food. Your card won't work. The bank's locked you out. Or you can't get a promotion and a job, or you are demoted, or your children can't attend school or receive health care. This is the same country that limited women's rights to families' rights to reproduce children at will based on depopulation. They wanted to depopulate their country. Babies were forcibly removed from their mother's wombs without their mother's consent by force, and then the parents were both sanctioned and not only sanctioned but sometimes imprisoned for having unauthorized pregnancies.
And people are going to vote for that to come here.
Yep. When you vote Democrat, you vote socialist, or you vote for this puppet administration, this illegitimate administration, that you're voting for China because they're inviting China in. And they're inviting Ukraine. They're inviting everybody in. And I'm not, you know, not... And I have no problem with Chinese people. It's the ideology I don't like. And
it's the Chinese government.
From
Ukraine are nice people. It's the Ukraine government that's involved
like.
In all the scams.
Exactly. And you know, we're going into these situations with this administration where there's no display of civility or common ground or want to resolve anything. If I were the President of the United States, I would not get involved with this Ukrainian-Russian scuffle without, A, they're not a member of NATO, and NATO's a bad deal anyway, but they're not a member of NATO, A, and B, Zelensky has demonstrated zero desire to want to go and sit down and go to the table with Russia and discuss this.
Oh, he has a law stating that they will never accept a peace deal.
Yeah, and
that's
to me that says,
now.
Yeah, forever war. Until the end.
How do you fund that? How do you fund someone that wrote in their books that they will never stop the war? You must only, the other side must surrender, and that's it. How do you keep funding that?
Yeah, and how do you consider a leader like that and a dictate like that? How can you even consider allowing them into an organization like NATO? I mean, does that mean that NATO's
funded,
just going to turn it?
That's the only thing, is that they're being funded. So
they're being
they know that we can't say no.
And NATO's justifying, everybody's justifying by saying, well, we're protecting the countries around Ukraine. No, they're supporting Ukraine. Ukraine's not a member of NATO, and to be a member of NATO, you have to meet certain criteria and also pay to play. And they're not doing that. They're not sharing their resources. They're not sharing their information. They're not a member of NATO. And also, they do not want to go to the table. And people need to remember the whole reason that they are in a civil war is because Ukraine broke that treaty with Russia on the Donbass region in 2014. It was called the Friendship Treaty. That's the American translation of it. It's in Russian or Ukrainian. It's different, but it breaks down to what they call the Friendship Treaty. It was Ukraine that left that unprecedented. Part of breaking the treaty was that they would not be friends anymore, and it was very sad because Ukraine broke the treaty and treated anybody that lived in that region Russian by birth, but you know, got put into that treaty in that region by demographics, that they were enemy of the state. They were not allowed to speak Russian. They were not allowed to go to certain schools. They were not allowed certain jobs. They were not allowed certain, like I said, jobs or postings in the military. They were treated as second-class citizens. And those people never forgot that. And once that treaty was broke, Ukraine had no obligation to treat those people as Ukrainians or as citizens of that territory. And that's why that civil war started.
But the globalists are looking at it like, well, if we can get a nuclear war going, then we can get rid of so much of the population. And they're just looking at it as whether it's money or power, one of the two.
Yeah, and I can't help but feel like they're not in a hurry. I mean, like, they've got an agenda, they've got a timeline, but they're enjoying this. Like a cruel person that'll pluck, you know, the legs off a butterfly or something slowly and painfully and just, you know, slow death. It's sad. But it's not just happening to one country or one gender or race or religion. We're all part of their plan. It one big huge target.
So just a heads up, since it's the halfway mark of the show, let me just go ahead and say it here, I guess, even though it's inside baseball. In 2 weeks, we're going to have the election party, if you call it, and I'm going to see if I can get Joanne to join us and all the other hosts that want to cover the election with us here, because a lot of the election will be done and handled while we're on air. But next Tuesday, I am off. So did you want to see if you can get Ian Jacklin? Do you want Candace maybe to join you? Do you have another idea in mind? Do you want to take the night off?
Let me look at the date.
I'm just not going to be here
on that day.
Okay.
Tuesday's the 1st. All right. Yeah, I will be available. I'll see if... we can do a watch party or Candace, or I can reach out to Ian. I haven't talked to, I took the summer off, so I haven't talked to Ian like all summer. he was in Brazil and did all these cool things. I've been watching him on social media. I need to reach out. But he'd be a good one. He's always so fired up.
Well, it's nothing that says you can't have Candace and Ian come in as a guest.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love that. You know, and somebody else we haven't had on in a long time is Jesse Woodrow.
I've reached out.
Have you? He's been busy.
Yeah, I've been trying to get him, but I talk to him here and there, but he's not available just yet. Maybe in November,
but not just yet. And then Meredith Brooks, I still haven't, I don't know how many times I've reached out to Meredith Brooks and not heard back.
Oh, that's okay. I've tried others myself, so maybe they just don't want to get involved, and that's okay. I have a rule where I write to people three times, and after the third time, I don't write anymore, because why? So, I cut
exactly.
off at three. So
at this, all right, so now more things are coming out about the Fetterman debate. And apparently the moderators for the Senate debate, Pennsylvania Senate debate between Oz and John Fetterman, or woman, Fetterwoman, they announced that Fetterman required closed captioning to help him process the questions. And the moderator announced that before the debate. So, I mean, folks, this guy's the lieutenant, currently the lieutenant governor, you know. And they're wanting him for leadership in his capacity.
Yeah.
He's not the same as he was when he ran for lieutenant governor. He's not the same as he was when he was small town mayor. The only thing that's same about Fetterman is that stinking pullover he's constantly wearing. He needs to change his clothes once in a while. But, I mean, he's not well.
I'm just trying to understand what the fascination is, where you have Latinos, there's the Lexit now, there's Blexit, where everybody's leaving the Democrat Party, So therefore, they're reaching out to criminals.
Yeah, and then also, what is it with this illegitimate administration where they have such a inability to convey their thoughts and or enunciate? You know, all they bring is word salad. You've got... Jay Inslee, I was listening to him today. Well, she's with him, you know, mandate, jab, jab, jab. That's Jay Inslee. Can't understand half of what he says. Kamala, she might enunciate clearly, but it's word salad. It's like, I don't even know what the hell she's talking about, like 5 seconds into it, or where it's going. And then, of course, Biden... I mean, 100 billion, trillion, trillion, billion, you know, I mean, it's beyond word salad with him. And then you got Fetterwoman, who requires a prompter to tell him what to say. If he was a loved one of mine or a friend or somebody I really cared about, I would be totally opposed to him, trying to campaign for this position in his capacity, because he's not well, just like Biden's not well. That's elder abuse. That meat puppet is being subjected to elder abuse. And when I see Jill Biden, you know, next to him, you know, by pushing him around by the elbow and whispering in his ear, telling him what to do and where to go, and giving him an ice cream cone every now and then, you know, she's just happy as a clam in her capacity.
You think so?
I need her. Oh, yeah. She's really happy. She's going to be forever known as the first lady of the puppet administration.
Well, it's not like she did anything wrong, I guess.
Yeah. So, Dr. Jill.
But she's not as liked as Michael Robinson Obama, who I'm sure is a nice lady.
Oh, no, she's not at all. You know, and I seriously, I think these midterm elections will define who they're going to, the Democrats will bring out for 2024 elections. That's why we're not hearing a lot about 2024, is they have to see what they're up against. But they're going to be up against, I believe, they could potentially be up against a conservative House and Congress, or Senate and House, I'm sorry.
I think it's hilarious that they're blaming Republicans for the gas crisis and the food prices and inflation. If the
yeah.
Democrats have the Congress, the Senate, and the presidency, how is it the other side is at fault when they don't run anything?
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, we've got Biden pilfering the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Now, during the scamdemic, when everybody shut down and stayed inside and we saw, you know, fuel prices plummet to, you know, I mean, they were going, in fact, there was a overburden, there was an overproduction of fossil fuels for a while here. We had every tank was full in the United States, and they didn't have anywhere else left to put it because people were locked in their houses. And Trump said, well, my goodness, let's fill up the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and buy this fuel from small U.S. producers. And what we can't get from them, we'll get from other, you know, larger companies that are U.S. oil producers. But no, Aunt Nancy, she was not going to have that. Congress would not allow Trump to fill up that petroleum reserve at historic low fuel prices and support those U.S. producers at the same time. No, they painted it as a scenario where Trump was just greasing the pockets of his buddies. And now we're on the flip side of it. We're open. We should be producing. We should be exporting. We should be getting people back to work, you know, fostering a healthy economy, a patriotic society. But no, Biden's raping the petroleum reserve. And he's saying, hey, I'm doing it to lower fuel prices. Well, when they go to fill that up in a couple months, fuel's going to be a lot more than it is now, and taxpayers are still on the hook. So it's going to come out of your pocket either way. They're not doing anybody any favors.
No, and then the electric prices, they're talking about how the Northeast is going to be out of, it's going to be hard to heat your home this year?
Oh, yeah. And at the same time where they're trying to tell people not to use natural gas and to not use, you know, oil furnaces, to use only electricity, you know, and then they'll come and slap a smart meter on you and gear you down so you can't turn your heat up in the winter and you can't turn your AC up in the summer. And that's part of the submission. You will have nothing. We will control everything, and you will be grateful.
Yeah, so if you live in Phoenix and you want to use an air conditioner, well, how dare you?
Yeah. And or, you know, heating these people. You know, in the Northeast, gets cold in the winter. And, I mean, these people are really going to be hurting. I mean, they're going to have to, you know, you got your energy prices. You have unprecedented food bills. You've got a lot of people have lost between $20,000 and $30,000 out of their 401ks just this year. You know, when you go to vote and you go vote Democrat, remember that. Remember how if you have a 401k, something you've been working for, squirreling away for your future, and just this year, this administration has, you know, that with this recession has devalued it by $20,000-$30,000 per shareholder or per, you know, 401k holder. But at the same time, is happy to give between $10,000 and $20,000 in debt relief to people that went and got useless degrees and feel entitled to have somebody else pay their financial obligations that they signed up for.
Or even
and they
worse,
say, oh, I didn't understand.
We're paying $50 to $60 billion a month to the Ukraine.
Yeah, and then on top of that, I mean, what Obama could not destroy while he was in office for 8 years, this administration is doing it. And Biden is just a Obama, you know, puppet.
Yeah. But then in Australia, I don't know if you saw this yet, but in Australia, they now have your bank accounts are now linked to a social credit score with climate. So you get to see your carbon credits and your climate footprint when you go to the bank.
Interesting. And that is the rollout of their social credit system. And not surprising. I mean, you know, maybe a decade ago, I would be surprised that Australia is, you know, allowing this to occur. But not after the scamdemic. What we've seen happen in Australia and what we've seen happen in New Zealand.
Right.
What I would have always thought very free countries, you know, independent people, hardworking people. They just bent the knee. They complied. And I think that's one of the most dangerous things you can do.
Yeah, people think they can comply their way into freedom, and that will happen on the 33rd of February.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you could say it how Broccoli Man would say it, and I'll take things that will never happen for $1,000, Alex.
Yeah, that was a good one. Oh, a very good one. But yeah, and you know, it's interesting because get these crooks out of the Senate and Congress and replace them with, you know, people that love America and have family values and, you know, they the right to, you know, be an unborn baby and grow in your mother's womb without the fear of being yanked out. I mean, we're seeing a lot of pro-life candidates come up and stuff, and I think that, you know, when they had the Supreme Court ruling leaked, you know, nobody's names come up on that, on the Roe versus Wade, you know, Supreme Court leak, ruling leak. No investigation. Where's the big committees, you know, and stuff? But this administration knew that there was going to be, the conservatives were going to come forth, and they were going to come forth as Christian, pro-life, pro-family, and quit screwing around with our kids, mama bear, papa bear attitude. So they had to fire up the left going, now look, this is the opposition. They want to take a right, to take away your right to mutilate and kill a baby inside you. And they have nothing. They have nothing to offer but hate and death and destruction of not only, like I said, humanity, but, I mean, our democracy as well as humanity.
Yeah, but that's why they're not debating, though, because they don't have anything to offer.
Exactly, and people have to keep that in mind, too.
Oh, we never played that Project Veritas with Katie Hobbs.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We went so far out on a tangent for about an hour. All right, let's go ahead and play that, Doc.
Okay.
Hold on, let me get Katie Hobbs up here. All right. Did I not? I know I did it. There we go. Okay. It's just 2 minutes here.
So all across the country, Democrat candidates, not candidates themselves, but the party, was putting money in primaries into the races of the extreme Trump-endorsed candidates, as opposed to the moderate Republicans that were running, because they wanted those extremists to win, because they knew that the Dems had a better chance of winning their races against the extreme candidates than they did against the moderate Republicans.
A fierce gubernatorial race is underway between current Secretary of State Democrat Katie Hobbs and Republican candidate Carrie Lake. Our undercover journalist sat with Becky Hobbs, that's Katie Hobbs' twin sister, and uncovered a surprising, if not shocking, national Democrat strategy to help Carrie Lake win her primary.
So the Dem Party put money into those extremist races so that would be... And okay, so on election night, on primary night, when we were at Katie's event on primary night, and she didn't know the night of the election who her opponent was going to be, but Karen Taylor Roston was up by 10 points.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like it took the air out of the room, because everyone knew that Katie was polling better against Carrie Lake. And everyone knew that Katie had a better chance to win against Carrie Lake. Everyone wanted Carrie Lake to be the nominee. So it was kind of like this sigh of relief when Carrie Lake actually ended up winning.
Yeah.
Because Katie, it's a better opponent for her.
So it will be easier for her to win.
Right.
This brings into question rhetoric in the news media, urging that democracy itself is at stake in this midterm election. So which is it? Are Trump-backed candidates a genuine threat? Or is it all engineered by the Democratic Party to alter public perception for their benefit? You decide. Reporting from Phoenix, Arizona, this is James O'Keefe with Project Veritas Action.
So, I didn't quite understand that, because the audio was not all that good.
No, it wasn't. Essentially, what I believe that happened, and we saw this, you know, we talked a little bit about it with the Mitch McConnell thing earlier, was that, but in a different context, but where what I believe she was saying was the Democrat Party, the National Convention, poured money into candidates like Carrie Lake because she was Trump-endorsed. And they thought, okay, if they're Trump-endorsed candidates, they'll be easier to beat because everybody hates Trump. And instead of the other opponent. So it's really interesting because when you look at somebody like Lisa Murkowski running for Senate in Alaska against Kelly Chewbacca, well, she's a Republican against a Republican, but the Democrat, when I looked into Murkowski's donations and stuff, she received money from Soros-backed grants, also our foundations, and Democrat PACs, and namely school associations and teachers unions and nursing unions and stuff like that. So Democrats poured a lot of money into Murkowski, which is weird because they didn't pour it into Chewbacca. We're seeing the Republican Party turn against the Republican in this thing. But Chewbacca is Trump endorsed. So what I think is, you know, they thought that if they had a Trump opponent against a Democrat opponent, they would have a better chance of winning. Because they think that everybody hates Trump like they do. I mean, they have TDS back. And, you know, I don't agree with everything that Trump did. I mean, but he was a great executive for the United States, and that's what the president is. It's not supreme ruler. It's not a dictatorship. It's an executive position. That's the executive office. And the Congress and Senate and all other branches are nothing but a board, a committee. You know, they're not meant to rule our lives. In fact, they need to remember they all work for us. And you need to be willing to vote for somebody that's willing to work for you.
And they're telling you that they're not going to work for you. They're going to work against you.
Yeah. And there are, you know, wealthy candidate or wealthy conservatives out there that do serve in politics, but a lot of them have come to the table as business owners or, you know, established in their careers. Whereas the Democrat Party, you see career politicians working on a public servant salary, and they're billionaires. And, you know, if that doesn't make you go, I don't know what would. I mean, look at it, folks. Look at, they are the party of privilege. They are the elitists. They are the darlings of the one world order. They do and they say what George tells them to do or Quash tells them to do. Or Zelensky at this point.
But I guess looking back, though, or looking ahead for 2 weeks, do you honestly think that we as Americans are going to say now is the proper time for communism? Because I can't believe that.
I'm afraid proof that if given the chance, I think a lot of the younger population, the 30 and under, would choose the own nothing, and be happy. It's just like living
right
in your parents' basement. And they would be completely happy with that. And they would vote for it if they could get out of the basement.
Thank you. I just have a feeling that if Republicans take over, are they going to try to say that every election was rigged and now it's time for civil war? I don't know. Because every poll says that they're going to lose.
Yeah.
I don't know any poll that says this is going to be a big blue wave.
No. No. And like, you know, we said earlier, this party has nothing to bring to the table. They have tanked America. And, you know, at the same time, Joe, he's under a lot of pressure over his handling of inflation and foreign policy and lots of other things. I mean, he's always been a plagiarist and a liar. And he rolled out this false administration with one of the biggest lies. If you buy this scam and wear a scam for 100 days, I'm going to give you this, this, and this, and I'm going to make you all these promises and stuff. Well, people accepted this, and they wore their scams for 100-plus days or 200 days or 300 days after that, and saw their livelihoods, saw their children's academic scores tank. You know, so much has happened in this short time. And it's interesting because they have this big nothing burger. And Biden was addressing a crowd of the DNC workers and younger ones. And, you know, he was trying to tell them that the Republicans would cause chaos in the U.S. economy if they're elected, and claiming that Republicans are determined to hold the economy hostage and that nothing would create more chaos. Republicans are going to crash the economy. A Republican takeover of Congress would stymie Biden's agenda and would usher in new GOP policies on drilling, abortion, taxes, and spending programs. And Biden added he would not approve any Republican attempts to cut entitlement spending programs like Social Security.
Oh, Republicans, yeah, they're using the same rhetoric that they've tried for 50 years.
Exactly. And, you know, Americans are telling pollsters the things they're concerned about are inflation, jobs, gun violence, that type of stuff. You know, they're not saying that they're concerned about about preventing people from having guns, but they're concerned with the violence. And that doesn't have anything to do with, I mean, yeah, guns are being used in the commission of these crimes, but this violence is a result of open borders, a fentanyl opiate crisis from this, as well as a justice system that is refusing to, convict criminals and catch and release. We talked about that earlier. Look at this guy that, you know, this Daryl, what's his name, from Waukesha, who,
well, that,
the Christmas
that guy
parade.
Is weird. I just can't believe goes to court and says, I don't know who you're talking about, Daryl Brooks. I don't know him. I've never met him. Don't call me him because I'm not him. How do you do that in a courtroom?
Exactly. And what type of kangaroo court allows the victims and their families to be re-victimized and have to deal with this nut job? It's a miscarriage of justice. This will probably end up in a some kind of mistrial because of the way the proceedings have proceeded or not proceeded. This guy, he has grandstanded, he's acted out, he's yelled, screamed. he demanded that everybody take a COVID test that's in the courtroom.
Yeah.
I mean, what gives him that right to order medical tests for private citizens? He is no, yeah, no, not happening. But, yeah, this type of stuff, this is America, and this is, we're going to get more of the same.
And those are the people getting glorified here. Look at the school shooter from St. Louis yesterday. You're not going to hear much about that on the news because it doesn't fit the narrative because he's black.
Like the one in Texas or wherever,
right,
this last time.
Yeah, he spent 24 hours in jail, and then that was it.
And what he, I believe there were two casualties.
Right.
Which are too many. One, I believe, 15-year-old girl and a gym teacher who lost their lives in that. And that's just a tragedy. But that has nothing to do with, you know, guns themselves. I mean, yeah, a gun was used in the commission of it, but it's the society. It's this permissive society, and if you've got hurt feelings or you're bullied or, you know, nobody used your pronoun today, then you can do whatever you want because feelings matter. You know, I don't know. It's insane. It's just insane.
But it's funny, though, that the same people that are calling Kyle Rittenhouse is a murderer are saying that it wasn't Daryl Brooks' fault. So I just don't get how defending yourself. Well, I guess I get it. The goal is to make sure every white person is guilty, and if you're black, then you're okay. So it's about following a narrative.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And we're going to need another Martin Luther King in 15 or 20 years to try and make things equal for all again. It's just sad we have to get there.
Well, yes, we've backpedaled. I mean, the civil rights movement, all that hard work and sacrifice, all those folks made, and, you know, for decades, you know, color doesn't matter, the color of your skin doesn't matter, because it doesn't. You know, that has no bearing on anything. We all have hearts, we all have brains, we all, you know, but yeah, we've backpedaled, and you're a white supremacist until you're not. And I think that the more people say, "I'm not a white supremacist," the more they sound like one. You know, it's just sad, and you know, I can't help what color I was born as. And like, you know, gender, I can't change my color. That's coming next with gene therapy, folks.
To change your color?
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Like the reverse of Michael Jackson?
They'll put in some chameleon DNA and stuff in their gene therapy, and you can blend in any situation. Identify as anything as you want today.
Well, what about the furries that are in class where they don't even have to talk? They just sit in a litter box all day.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, some of these furries parental units don't even know that they're furries because the school keeps the litter box a secret and the cat ears or the tail, you know, in a locker for them. And then, you know, same with the transgender kids that their parents have no idea that it's really Bobby Sue, you know, Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And Bobby Sue has a dress in a locker in the school counselor's room so that they can groom him or her or
the
furry.
In some states, the parents aren't allowed to ask the kids what gender they are. The kid doesn't have to reveal who they are to their parents.
Exactly.
I just don't see how that works.
You know, or these teachers or counselors or groomers taking your child for an abortion or to have their breasts removed or something during school hours without your consent. But to ask or to protest makes you villainous and callous and racist and misogynist and homophobe and genderophobe and all types of terrible things. Just because you want what's best for your child's health and well-being, what you do as an adult is completely your own prerogative. But as a child, I mean, I don't know any 6-year-olds that can go buy a pack of smokes and a 6-pack of beer or, you know, go register for a gun, but they can change their gender.
Yeah.
Or their species.
They can be born, but they can't go into a nightclub, but they can if they're a dancer, but they can't drink in a club, but they can they could strip in a club.
Yes.
And they can watch porno, the under 18 porno, which is the same as other porn. It's just that they're allowed to.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's taxing. It's emotionally exhausting.
Well, that kind of leads me, though, Dahl. We'll give our voices a break right now. Tucker Carlson had a clip that uploaded today called "Are You Getting Tired Yet?"
Okay, good.
I'll be honest, I'm not quitting Freedomizer anytime soon, but at the same time, it is just sad to come up here and not see any light. So
yeah.
If this election ends up all Democrats and everybody's going to have to go to FEMA camps that don't exist and all that stuff, I can't vouch for staying here another 5 years.
Yeah, because it's just, it will be repeating all the same thing. They're coming to get you. They're coming to get you, and it's not just a scary Halloween story. They're coming for you.
Yeah, I want to be here where I can provide hope and not just sit here like a duck just waiting for duck practice.
Yeah, no.
So
I agree.
Well, let's hear Tucker Carlson.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson. Send happy Monday. The good news stories just keep coming. Here's one of them. So when the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade this past June, you remember this, Democrats howled in outrage. For weeks, every hour on MSNBC sounded like a plot summary from The Handmaid's Tale. Theocracy rising! They'll be burning witches! Liberals seemed genuinely upset, and probably most were, but on some level, not very deep beneath the surface, the people who run the Democratic Party weren't upset at all. They were thrilled. Here finally was an issue for them to run on in the midterm elections. It was an issue perfectly suited to a party that had nothing else to talk about. Are they going to brag about Joe Biden? I don't think so. So it was going to be abortion. They're going to take your abortions away. That was the Democratic message for the midterm elections, the ones that are coming up in just a few days. But there was a problem with the messaging. So COVID had just ended, and people, not being entirely stupid, still remembered that this very same Democratic Party, the same people, had forced the entire population to wear paper masks like children, and then to take the shot as a condition of going outside. So women have the right to control their own bodies? They used to tell us that. And then they fired thousands of nurses for refusing to submit to an experimental vaccine. So the phrase, my body, my choice, had been, as we say in the news business, overtaken by events. Clearly, Democrats needed a new slogan, a new way to talk about abortion. Unfortunately, nobody could think of one. Your body, my choice? No, that wouldn't work. It was too real. So in the end, liberals just dusted off the same old talking points and pretended like COVID never happened. Watch.
The midterm election is now less than 3 weeks away, and in the final stretch, I've noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed, frankly, this gaslighting of women voters, this message that says, oh, you don't really care about your right to control your own bodies, dear. It's the economy, stupid. You've got a media narrative that says that women don't really care about abortion, that women don't really mind if the states control their bodies. They don't care about that. They just care about the price of milk.
Yeah, it would be a shame if states got to control people's bodies, like telling people what to wear on their faces or what drugs they have to be injected with. That'd be like a Handmaid's Tale. Theocracy! Next, they'll be trying to control what you read on social media. Oh, wait. It's all pretty amusing. And the good news is that for once, lines this preposterous are not working. Abortion politics is a total fixation of Democratic donors. It's the main thing they care about. Why is that, by the way? It's a religion. It's a child sacrifice cult. But not everyone else feels that way, even Democrats. As the Daily Caller just reported, polls show that, quote, abortion is not a top priority for female voters. In fact, quote, most women support abortion limits that would have been considered unconstitutional under the Roe v. Wade precedent. Oh. So it looks like yelling about abortion is definitely not going to be enough to keep Democrats in control of the Congress. Are you surprised by that? No, of course not. You live here. So how did the highly paid and admittedly pretty smart strategists who figure out what the issues are in the Democratic Party so misjudge this one? Well, they did what a lot of us do. They forgot that not everyone is like them. Not everyone in America is as miserable as they are. In fact, there are still plenty of people in this country, believe it or not, who have happy marriages. There are still people who love their kids and their grandchildren. Still people who consider babies a blessing, not just an obstacle to better vacation. Now, some of those people, maybe a lot of those people, might still consider themselves, quote, pro-choice, but they're hardly pro-abortion. They don't think abortion is a positive good. It's not. They don't consider it liberation. And they definitely don't see abortion, as Janet Yellen recently claimed, as the answer to our national economic problems. She said that. So here's how it works. Janet Yellen gets rich giving speeches to the companies she regulates. That's corruption, but she's never charged. She's still free. In fact, she's the Treasury Secretary. And you? You get poorer. But we have a solution. You just need to have more abortion. That's what she said. That's the message they're selling. And maybe not surprisingly, it doesn't work. That's not what voters want. So what do voters want? What do they care about? Well, if you look at the polls, they care about exactly what you'd expect them to care about, which is the quality of their own lives. So they care about the economy, and they care about crime. This is very obvious. You don't even need to look at polling to know it, but every poll shows it with maximum clarity. So how did the media respond to this? Well, of course, doing their job. They've done everything possible to minimize both issues, the economy and crime. They've told us the economy is not in a recession. No, it's not. When, of course, by every measure, it is very much in a recession. And on crime, they've told you don't even talk about it. Only racists worry about crime. Racist, the one thing you don't want to be called. So how should Republicans respond to that? Well, we have video evidence. Here's Carrie Lake, who's running for governor in Arizona, deftly swatting away a reporter's claim that somehow people of color like crime. Watch this. a lot of people of color feel like they're
a lot of people
targeted.
Of color. A lot of people of how many people of color have you talked to about that?
I mean, if you look at surveys,
which surveys? I'm happy to look at those stats because I will tell you this: that I talk to people of color. I talk to all Arizonans. They're all concerned about the crime. Just because your skin isn't the same color as yours doesn't mean you want your kids to be walking down the street in an unsafe neighborhood. Every Arizonan wants safety and security in the neighborhood. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. And if you look at stats, you will look and see that police do not target people of color. That is a lie that's been perpetuated by the left and then spread and disseminated and re-spread in the media. Check the stats.
So great. The reporter says, well, people of color are concerned about your crime policies. Because, of course, being a white liberal, all white liberals know, if they know one thing, that they have a right to speak for, quote, people of color. Not to people of color, something they rarely do, but for, on behalf of, people of color. So Carrie like, just stops right there. Really? What people of color have you talked to? Republicans, all Republicans running for office should watch that video. But in the end, you don't need to convince people that crime is real because they live here too. Crime is everywhere. In New York, crime on public transit is up more than 40%. And not just pickpocketing. Now, this video that we're about to show you is not an aberration necessarily. It just so happens this was caught on tape. But this is exactly the reason that people are afraid to ride the subway. This weekend, a man was pushed onto the tracks. You can guess the motive, actually, from watching this video. But we know with no warning whatsoever. Here it is.
32-year-old David Martin is afraid for his safety after this random attack. He's in physical and emotional pain as he continues to replay this horrifying moment caught on camera over and over again. In this video, you can see that guy in the yellow hoodie shove him right onto the subway tracks. He zeroed in on the innocent commuter and then charged right at him. Martin ended up in the hospital, just grateful to be alive.
Oh, this random attack. There are a lot of random attacks on the internet, you may have noticed. Are they random? Really? The person who did that is not being sought as a hate criminal. You wonder why. But the point is, those kinds of attacks didn't used to happen. Now they're commonplace enough you may no longer be shocked by them. But if you live there, you stay off the subway as a result. Crime in Philadelphia is completely out of control. For example, last year, Philadelphia recorded 562 murders. That is the highest homicide total since 1960. That happens to be the year the city started tracking homicide data. This year in Philadelphia, crimes like robbery with a gun are up 47%. Now, why is this happening? It's not an accident. None of this is an accident. Crime is rising as a direct result of policies designed to make crime rise. And at the same time, any effort by normal people, middle-class people, to defend themselves is immediately met with the full ferocity of the state. So this is an attempt, of course, to destroy the American middle class. Let's just be honest about it. This is crime with a purpose. They don't want to have this conversation, the people who did this, and that's why they attack you personally and morally if you bring it up. So in Philadelphia, a lot of these crimes can be traced to one man, Soros-backed DA Larry Krasner. He's decided not to charge many robbers with crimes. Arrests and charges for retail theft in Philadelphia have dropped by about 70% over the past 4 years. In that same period, reports of robberies jumped more than 20%. You see how this works? If you stop charging people with certain crimes, they commit more of them. That seems like an obvious observation. And again, it's more evidence this is not an accident. Larry Krasner is not an idiot. None of these people are stupid. They're doing this on purpose. They're trying to destroy. Now, why are they doing that? Well, we can't guess as to motive, but they're definitely doing it. So when asked about this, how does Larry Krasner respond? Shut up, racist! What?
We're just looking at Philly right now in a superheated election cycle where part of the Republican playbook, as you well know, is to point a finger at large, diverse cities and say large, diverse cities are lawless. What we see here is the same old playbook, which is about coded and racist messaging. It's about blaming the biggest city in Pennsylvania with the most diverse population, for having the same national struggle that we have with gun violence everywhere.
Oh, diversity, racism, diversity, racism. Shut up. So here you have another white liberal deputizing himself to speak for people of color against his political opponents. Have you figured out how this works? You getting tired of it yet? Voters are getting very tired of it. So tired of it that even some Democrats have started to figure out, actually, maybe voters don't want to be shot, raped, or carjacked, and then attacked morally if they don't like it. Kathy Hochul, who is in part responsible for the rising crime in New York, is now running last-ditch ads promising to fight crime. Oh, really, Kathy Hochul? But it's probably too late for her. She's losing to a Republican in New York. Pennsylvania is almost as Democratic as New York is, but the lieutenant governor now running for Senate there, John Fetterman, is also losing for the same reasons, we guess. His challenger is Dr. Mehmet Oz, who joins us tonight.
So, it's just crazy to me how the Democrat Party is all about protecting the criminals, and it's just, I don't know anybody that says, yeah, I think it's a good thing that John Fetterwoman wants to get rid of half the prison population. Do you know anybody that thinks that way, Dahl? Because I don't, and I don't know who Pierce is, so you'll have to tell me about that one as well.
Oh, yeah. All right, so, yeah, no, I agree with you. I haven't heard of anybody that says, I want my guns taken away, my right to bear arms, my constitutional Second Amendment right taken away. I haven't heard of anybody that says I want my First Amendment rights to be taken away through censorship and other means. And I don't know anybody that wants to live in a lawless society that has no respect for life. And I think it's important, too, when Carrie Lake said, you know, I'm pro-life, that doesn't mean that you don't have decisions, or, you know, a woman loses her right to make decisions for her own health. We still have the right to, you know, birth control and other means of, you know, preventing pregnancies. It's not like a virus that you just catch walking down the street. Oh, I caught a viral baby, you know, and it was really unfortunate. And I wish there was gene therapy to get rid of that, but there will be gene therapy to get rid of that. In fact, gene therapy will make it so that there won't be any babies. But
that's
no,
true.
But I'm not seeing, you know, like we were saying earlier, these people have a big nothing burger to sell. And it's just the same retort, this hyperbole. And if they cannot court, you know, influence sane people, productive members of society to vote for them, they'll get every illegal and every criminal to vote for them.
So that's it? That's the only chance, is that they can get criminals to vote and then let the criminals vote for them? So the more criminals that are out, the more of a chance they can get that vote in?
I would guess so. I don't know, you know, what kind of voting rights criminals have, but, I mean, they've got dominion, so... yeah, it's alarming. It's very alarming. So you said you didn't know who Pierce was, so I had sent proof a article here, and this is Alaska Politics. Now, Charlie Pierce is running against, he's Republican, and he is running against the current Republican Governor Dunleavy here in Alaska, and there was just a press release that this guy, Charlie Pierce, is running against the governor. His running mate who's running for lieutenant governor, has dropped off the race. Apparently, Charlie Pierce, who's running against Governor Dunleavy in the Republican ticket, has just been sued for sexual harassment. And the gal that was his running mate, who she was running for lieutenant governor, her name is Grundwell, Edie Grundwell. She is withdrawing, not as a reflection of Charlie Pierce's guilt or innocence, but she feels that she really has to stand up for the general idea of respectful treatment of women in the workplace. And her decision comes after Pierce's former executive assistant sued him for sexual harassment, and more than a month after the Kenai Peninsula Borough publicly confirmed the first time there was credible workplace harassment claims. So the lawsuit's going forward, and it doesn't look like Charlie Pierce is running out, jumping out of the race yet, but his running mate, Lieutenant Governor, so I believe he wouldn't really had a chance to win, you know, but it's interesting. And Grunwell, the gal that dropped out, she's the chair of the Alaska Parole Board. She was placed there by Governor Dunleavy in 2019, and she's a victim's right advocate. So it's optics, you know. She can't stay in the race under that capacity. Yeah. And it's unfortunate. This is just breaking news. So we'll hear more of what happens with this. But my prediction is Charlie Pierce will drop out of the race as well.
And what was he, a Republican or Democrat?
Republican. He's Republican, yeah. And that's the thing about, you know, in a regular voting primary, you know, in the end, you would just have, you know, maybe an independent or a libertarian and a Republican and Democrat. But with ranked choice voting, you get the, you know, four top people that got the most votes in ranked choice voting, and they're on the ballot. And in some cases, you have three Republicans running against a Democrat. And this was another way to erode the party system in America.
Well, I don't, when it gets to the point where they're talking about putting people in concentration camps because of their voting record, we're not going to have a two-party system anymore. It's going to be that you either vote for the party that they tell you to vote for, or that's it.
Exactly. You know, or they'll be coming to your door with a gun and saying, here, fill this out, and there'll only be one name on there.
No, I hate to think that we're getting there, and a lot of people don't believe it. That's why you got 40% that will still vote Democrat, because they think it's funny. They don't know. Most people that are voting Democrat have no idea that this is right there on our doorstep. They just think that Brandon has had a string of bad luck, but he'll turn things around.
Yeah. There's not enough ice cream to turn this party around.
Or children.
Yeah.
Did you see the one where Brandon sniffed this kid all the way from his hair to his butt, and the kid was in somebody's arms and just trying to hide, but he couldn't go anywhere? He didn't want Brandon sniffing all over him and nuzzling him, like pushing his nose up against his butt. Nobody wants that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's Brandon.
Stiffing away. You know, and I do recall during the presidential debates and whatnot, he did acknowledge that he was too handsy and too sniffy and didn't respect people's permanent space or personal space. And he made a vow that he would change his ways. And he's just become more perverted. And it's sad when a grown man in a public capacity or any capacity has to make a promise to people that he'd quit inappropriately sniffing people. Namely children and their butts.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that's ever enjoyed sniffing a kid's butt like that before.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen this. I'm sending it to you now. So in New York, a New York State Supreme Court judge has ordered that city workers who were fired.
I didn't see that before. Sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was just saying that I'm glad you brought it up. That's all.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. All right. So a New York State Supreme Court judge has ordered that city workers who were fired and for refusing to comply with the vaccine mandate must be reinstated and receive back pay. Judge Ralph Porzio sent a ruling issued on Monday that a citywide order requiring workers be vaccinated was capricious and arbitrary and had violated the state's separation of powers doctrine. It's time for the city of New York to do what is right and what is just, the judge said. The order stems from a lawsuit filed by 16 employees of the New York City Department of Sanitation who were fired in February for failing to comply for vaccine mandates. The order will apply to more than 1,400 city workers, including hundreds of police officers, firefighters, and education department employees who lost their jobs. We just defeated the vaccine mandate for every single city employee, Chad LaVega said, an attorney representing the sanitation workers. It's null and void. Republican candidate Lee Zeldin said it's 100% correct and just ruling in a Twitter post. Nobody should lose their job over a personal decision whether or not to get the COVID shot. The judge's 12-page ruling was highly critical of former Mayor de Blasio's order to require city workers to have two doses of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine, which were later extended to private employers. There's nothing in the record to support the rationality of keeping a vaccination mandate for public employees while vacating the mandate for private sector employees or creating a carve-out for certain professions like athletes, artists, and performers, the judge wrote. This is clearly an arbitrary, capricious action because we are dealing with identical unvaccinated people being treated differently by the same administrative agency. The judge wrote that vaccination rates in New York had nearly reached 80% and that we shouldn't be penalizing people who showed up to work at great risk to themselves and their families while we were in lockdown. In March, New York City Mayor Eric Adams faced criticism for allowing unvaccinated athletes to play home games while the ban on unvaccinated city workers was still in force. So this is huge. And it could have a ripple effect for not only city, state, but also the federal government itself. Because I do hope one day we have a Nuremberg-like trial or council and hold people like Tony Fauci and Jay Inslee and Gavin Newsom and all of them. And de Blasio, all of them accountable for Widmer, you name it. The list goes on and on and on. The tyranny, the lockdown, the loss. So hopefully these people will get their day in court one day and, you know, get retribution.
By the way, speaking about court, I don't know if you heard about this. A judge in St. Louis has taken the attorney general's case, Eric Schmidt, and Dr. Fraudy and everyone that they want to subpoena for these gene therapies will be on trial.
Whoa.
So it will be mandatory for them to show up as a defendant. So this is the state of Missouri versus.
Good. You know, and that's really important because people, they have to remember that as one of the neatest things about United States of America is that each state has its own constitution and the constitutional rights that protect you and your liberties and your way of life. And it's so great that we can choose the state we want to live in. I mean, it may not be practical. I know people are, you know, can't just up and move and stuff, but it's an inherent right we have as Americans, and it's a very unique right. And our forefathers had a lot of insight into this through living through tyranny, and that's why they came here. And you're seeing a lot of votes going up for people, for states to go and look at their, you know, make amendments to their state constitutions. And unfortunately, some of these amendments erode the constituents' rights instead of, you know, furthering them and expanding on them. So, yeah, it's important to pay attention to what's going on at home, just as important as it is to keep an eye on this illegitimate, you know, administration that's tanking the country. But yeah, your state's rights are just as, your constitutional rights are just as inherent and just as binding as the U.S. constitutional rights. So it's important. That's why I choose to live in Alaska. You know, we have very strong Second Amendment rights, some of the most permissive Second Amendment rights in the United States, as well as leadership thus far that has prevented us from, you know, mandates and tyranny.
So you have Democrats that are asking for countries like China to watch over our voting because the United States voting system with Republicans can't be trusted, so we need to allow China to tell us who the winner is.
Yes.
Well, that's kind of weird and against everything we believe in.
Exactly. You know, weird cells.
Yeah, what's to say they even count the votes? And then if they don't want you even questioning the vote, then why do they even have to pick up the boxes? They'll just let us vote and not even count the ballots and then just tell us that the Democrat won. And if we ask, why don't you count the ballots, then you get arrested.
Yeah, you know, and then, yes, and it's, there's just, I don't know, proof. Our electoral process is eroded and no longer secured, and I was saying earlier in the show that one of my greatest concerns are people will no longer, you know, I'll continue to cast my vote. Whether they want to cheat with Dominion or not, I have to show up. I have to at least show up.
Right.
You know, and vote. And people need to remember that. And don't get lazy right now. Don't go, oh, look, it's definitely, it's a win, you know, it's a red wave or whatever, or and say my vote doesn't count anyways. No, whether they count or not, it's just as important to show up, you know, and be present. And I do know that there are ballot box watchers out there in different communities,
yeah,
and states and stuff like that. If you do have the opportunity, and this is a concern of yours, I would encourage you to sign up to do that and or be a poll watcher. Become involved. Show up. Your presence means a lot more than signing a signature on a ballot or not a ballot, but a petition or showing up to protest somewhere. Your presence to let them know that you are watching them, and there are millions of other concerned citizens, regardless of their political affiliation, watching these boxes to make sure that they're not molested and that democracy is being upheld and the will of the people is being served. These people work for us. We don't work for them. Yet, we will.
Yeah,
we will change the course. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, but you know, I'm optimistic, you know, that not optimistic really, but I'm going to show up. I'm not going to be a poll watcher, but you know, I'm going to vote and I'm going to continue to advocate for freedom and stuff until I can't anymore. I'm not going to go down, you know, like this. You know, I'm sending you something. I know we don't have a lot of time, but this just popped up.
All right.
And it's an article from Breitbart, and it's concerning this immigrant tent city that they set up in New York.
Oh.
And they were calling it Adams Tent City for illegal immigrants, appears to have no occupants and is still barring the press. Now, I'm not saying that this is a education camp, re-education camp or FEMA camp, but it's one of those instances and examples I used earlier in the show where I said they set up these, you know, isolation tents. You know, my question is, right before the elections and right before a lot of where there's a lot of contention in that city, why are they setting up these camps? Why are there nobody in them? And why are they not allowing the press into them? What are these tents really intended for? And it says, the tent city for illegal immigrants built in New York City appears to still have no occupants, according to an investigation by Breitbart News, limited by the area being restricted for press. So not only are they not letting the press into the tents, they're restricting the area around the tents. The palatial tent structure built on Randall's Island across the East River from Harlem looks all set to welcome hundreds of lodgers, with cots set up, each paired with a blanket. However, there doesn't seem to be anyone sleeping on them.
Mm.
The New York Post reported an initial wave of 500 single immigrant men were set to move in on October 19th, where they would receive fluff and fold laundry service and be able to play Xbox. But a walk around the perimeter of the makeshift accommodation on October 24th did not appear to show anyone living there. Breitbart was informed by a man on the premises who said he was a contractor that the area is, quote, unquote, not ready yet to host the city's new residents. The press is still barred from accessing the area dubbed as Adams Tent City. For a time, on Google Maps, for reasons unknown, a contracted security guard at the gate told Breitbart Press wasn't allowed in for the, quote, safety of the illegal immigrants, despite no one seeming to be there at the time of the conversation. Breitbart asked City Hall if there's a firm plan in place to get people moved in by a certain date, how much the tent city is costing taxpayers, and whether there's a plan for where people will be moved in another month or two when temperatures drop to freezing. But they still did not respond. In a guided walkabout at the facility with press led by city officials last week, New York City Emergency Management Commissioner Zach Eiskolb boasted the facilities would serve culturally appropriate food, South American fare, but did not give a full accounting of how much all this will cost. That's a little ominous proof.
Well, the thing is that they will show just enough to say that they did something, but they will show so little that you'll have to say, see, your money only went this far, so we need more funding and we need more votes so we can continue doing this. Because if they solved the problem, then they wouldn't get money. And it's not an election year for Eric Adams, so it doesn't matter if he has it finished or not right now. It would hurt him because they wouldn't have anything to go on in an election year.
Yes, they're saying that this is what it's for, but I don't believe that this is what it's for. I believe that this is going to be some type of way to contain people after the elections. You know, this is the rollout. They will roll out these concentration or these FEMA camps. And they, like they did with the tent cities with COVID and stuff, and say it's for public safety, but that's where they'll send you for re-education and reprogramming and or whatever other perversion they're going to do to you. So, I understand the fiscal aspect of that, but also I don't believe that that's the true intention. And whenever you've got all these blue states that are sanctuary places, you'll see more and more of this popping up. But is it really for illegal immigrants, or is it for the citizens of the United States that won't bend the knee?
Well, and even if I could look at it this way, where this one could be for migrants, but it would be a test to make sure that they can run things when they open up the FEMA camps that don't exist.
Yes.
So that's possible. So while we have time, I want to play a 4-minute Kerry Lake clip, actually. They're talking about taking the NFL All-Star Game or the Pro Bowl out of or the Super Bowl. They want to take the Super Bowl out of Arizona this year if Kerry Lake wins.
Let's jump then
well,
to the fallout. We know that there's been history in Arizona with SB 1070, with boycotts in Arizona. We know the Super Bowl at one time was pulled over the Martin Luther King law. You would be sworn in a month from the Super Bowl being here. If the NFL were to threaten, they're going to pull the Super Bowl if you do that, would it make you waver in your decision?
You want to tell me that a bunch of football teams owned by billionaires are okay with fentanyl pouring across our border at a record level, killing our young people? Number one killer right now is fentanyl, 18 to 45, killing a generation of people. If the NFL is okay with that, then they got to do some soul searching. I don't think the NFL is that stupid. I really don't.
So you wouldn't be concerned about that?
We want to make sure that we're stopping the cartel.
Okay.
No, I'm not concerned.
Okay.
The people of Arizona is who I work for. And that's why I'm here with you today, Mike. This is a job interview. This should have been a debate, and we are doing a job interview. And you, the people of Arizona, are the hiring agent. I will be working for you. And unfortunately, my opponent doesn't have the courage and doesn't have the respect for the people of Arizona to show up here, sit on this stage, and take these same questions. But I'm not going to be taking marching orders from the NFL. I'm taking marching orders from the people of Arizona who are tired of their children getting their hands on the most deadly drug this country's ever seen. Mike, I talk to parents all the time. The hardest thing in the world is having a mother come up to you and tell you that she lost her 19-year-old because he took a pill. He took one pill. He didn't know it was a fentanyl pill. He didn't know it came from Mexico, from the cartels. He's gone. Think about what we, and think about out there what you have accomplished since you were 19. There's no amount of money that can ever bring a child back who's lost his life potential. And the thing is, we don't have to have these senseless deaths. We're being poisoned by the cartels and the CCP. The communist regime out of China is behind this. And if you don't think that they can take down a civilization and a country over drugs, with drugs, then you need to do a history lesson. And you got to look at the opium wars. They brought down dynasties with drugs, and they're trying to bring this country down. I am a mama bear at heart, and I will fight tooth and nail to protect our children. I don't want to have to face another parent who's lost a 17-year-old son, a 19-year-old daughter, a 20-year-old daughter. We're losing our future, Mike. And so if the NFL has a problem with that, they're going to have to lick their wounds, because we are going to secure our border in Arizona.
Who's excited about this new version of the Republican Party coming up? I certainly am. This new version of the Republican Party does not retreat, and it doesn't take lightly the slings and arrows of these Marxists who are in charge of everything. And why are Marxists in charge of everything? I think we should sit back and maybe ask that question. The reason why they are in charge is because for a better part of two or three decades, Republicans didn't push back. They didn't fight at all on any front. They were just inclined to retreat and lose with decency. That is the cancer inside of the Republican Party. The Bushes, the McCains, the Romneys, these are the decent losers that have essentially filled the ranks of the Republican Party when I was coming up. And these guys suck. And it's really nice to have a party of more like DeSantis's, Kerry Lakes, and Donald Trump's, and the people who can carry the party forward. There's a lot of real value of people like Jim Jordan, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Josh Hawley, and so on. These people fight party of Tucker now, right? Clarence Thomas. Supreme Court, it's like a party where people aren't okay with retreating, and there's something to fight for. This is the greatest country, you know, that still exists on this world, and it's certainly the most powerful, and this is why the forces of evil want to destroy it so much. And so we continue, ladies and gentlemen, to say that the new right is the fighting right, and is the right that is not going to be asleep at the wall, be asleep at the watch, sacrifice this nation to the Marxists, and our children to the Marxists. We will stand in the gap. That's a beautiful thing to see.
Well, do you buy that, though? Do you feel that the Republican Party is new, or do you feel that it's just a phase and eventually the globalist will get control over the Republican side again?
I believe that there's always going to be vulnerable members of any type of political, you know, affiliation. I do like what Kerry Lake said, was that, you know, if you vote for her, she's working for you. She doesn't work for the CCP. She doesn't work for the NFL. And we saw how well that played out for Georgia. So the NFL and these woke corporations can do as they want, because without consumerism and consumers, you know, believing in their products or purchasing their products, they've lost their clout. But
that is
I do
true.
Believe... I do,
well,
but to your question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I do believe, though, that there is a new wave of politicians out there under the Conservative Party that are coming forth, because they are, like Kerry Lake said, a mama bears, papa bears. These people quit messing with our kids, quit, you know, mandating our bodies. I mean, we're done with it. And I do believe that this is a collective group of people that have stepped forward that we've been asking for a while, not politicians, but patriots, people that genuinely love their country.
Well, I hope so. And there's only so many years that Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and Mitt Romney can run things.
Exactly. you know, and we've got Cheney. She's not in, you know, she's not going to be, you know, she's not electable. She thinks she's going to run for president in 2024, but, you know, she's one of the last remnants of the Bush dynasty. You know, we need to get rid of her. And we did. Collectively, she got rid of herself, actually. It was all her own doing.
Yeah, she took out the trash.
Yes, she did.
And she could take Kinzinger with him, with her.
I agree.
All right, well, we got 3 minutes. What do we want to do with them?
Well, a poll just popped up, and they say 82% of viewers say that Dr. Oz won Senate debate against John Fetterwoman.
So who would think that John Fetterwoman won the debate? If you're looking at it, is there anybody talking about how Fetterman cleaned Dr. Oz's clock or something? Or they just said he won because he's a Democrat and Democrats never lose?
I believe that 20% were pulling from prison.
Well, that's possible, I guess.
But they did say, the spokesman for Fetterman Woman did say that he did better in the debate than his prior debate in the Democratic primary, telling the local media, John spoke better tonight than he did in the primary. So, you know, I mean, just showing up and speaking is enough for that party. You know, you just got to have a pulse.
Yeah, well, you would hope that natural progression would be that if you had a debate 3 months or 4 months after you had a debate previously, that your verbal skills have picked up since then. That doesn't mean that his message has become more positive, because it hasn't. But he should be able to talk better. He's done some kind of therapy on that.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, with that type of medical emergency he had with his stroke, that part of the brain dies. It doesn't come back. He's not going to get better. I'm sorry, but he's not. And so folks need to know what they're investing for, because they'll shoe somebody else right in behind him. He's just a doorstop.
Right, and they were hoping they would have Biden 2.0.
Yes. Which they do, but he's not electable.
Right. All right, Dahl, we did it again. You're a bad girl. We did 3 hours.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for thanking me. Everyone else, please support the other shows on the network. It is not just a negative show here, but until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail. Hope alive, and remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am really negative. I am.